Jam is an event when people get together all over the world and in 48 hours try to make games. And we do this once a year. There's different kinds of game jams, but specifically the Global Game Jam. My name is Elon Kadoon, and I'm one of the co-directors of the Global Game Jam. This year we had teams in, I think, 67 countries around the world. And in 48 hours, we made about 3,200 games. And we have been accepted for inclusion into the Guinness Book of World Records. And it's such an amazing activity. The game jams are literally changing people's lives. People come in, they get jobs from the game jam, they gain valuable skills. Even if they're not going into the game industry, they learn ways of using those skills that they've been learning in college or university in some sort of a practical setting, in a rapid prototyping environment. And every so often we hit gold, as you saw with Surgeon Simulator. They came out and then got funded and went out and became a real game. Many other games have also started as prototypes, not necessarily as the game jam. But if anyone has ever played World of Goo, that started as a very simple prototype and then got developed into a larger game. And Portal, I assume many people here probably played Portal, started as a student project, a prototype, that then got a bunch of attention and then became a more extensive game and then got funding and became really a massive hit. But I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here. I'll let the other panelists here introduce themselves and while I get my slides going here.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm going to have the microphone close today. Usually I just yell at the room in here. My name is Gugda.org. I'm Andrew Greenberg. I'm the president of the Georgia Game Developers Association. I've been a judge at the Atlanta location of all of the Global Game Jams that I've had so far. The Atlanta location has been the largest U.S. jam location for at least the past 3 years, and we're always in the top five in the world. In addition, on September 20th to 22nd, any of you who are interested in jamming, we are doing a CDC Games for Health Game Jam at Southern Polytechnic State University in Marietta. This is sponsored by not only the GGDA, but also the Centers for Disease Control, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Robert Johnson Foundation. And the winners get paid to finish their games with the CDC. A paid position to finish your games, the grand prize for it. Again, September 20th through 22nd at SPSU. The GGDA is the Georgia Game Developers Association. We meet monthly. This month's meeting will also be at SPSU on September 10th, and it is a prelude to the jam. Folks from the CDC will be out there to talk about Games for Health and some of the topics we'll be dealing with, and we'll be talking about game jam success and survival techniques there. So I'm here to steal ideas from Ilanka. Oh, and I get to make one obnoxious and mostly fallacious claim about the game jam. We say that the game jam is actually born at Siege, the Southern Interactive Entertainment Game Expo we put on every year in October here in Atlanta. As a point of fact, Ian Schreiber, who's one of the founders of it, came to Siege our very first year, 2006, I think. 2006, 2007, whatever our first year was, and ran what we called the Game Design Improv, and that really got him inspired to become involved in the whole Global Game Jam phenom, and formed with the rest of these very cool people who made it all happen around the world.
Yeah, there were several different Game Jam-like events that were kind of going. The Nordic Game Jam, Ludum Dare, that some people may have heard of, and some other people were just doing informal events where if they were taking a long plane ride somewhere, they would see if they could create a game before the plane landed. So these were kind of quick competitions that they were doing.
And one last note about the game jam on September 20th to 22nd is that we already have about 230 people registered for it. So if you don't have a team, you will find a team there. So register, come join us, you'll have a blast, and you might win some great prizes.
Hi, my name is Ryan Green. I'm an MMO developer. I'm also an independent game developer. I've started my own companies. I'm going to be the grump on the panel. I think the game jams are a great thing. I've never participated in some. I've participated in one, but it was kind of an online one over a month, so it's not quite the same as the game jam. And so I'm basically going to be kind of the counterbalancing voice to tell you that, you know, you can still do really amazingly cool things outside the game jam, and hopefully we can have some cool discussion.
How many people here have ever participated in a game jam? Okay, so a new audience here.
Yeah. How many want to participate in a game jam?
Okay, good. Of those of you that want to participate, of the basic skill sets, so we have like programming, art, design, audio, production, organization.
Writing. Voice acting.
Yeah. So how many people here kind of see their primary, you can raise your hand multiple times, but how many people here see themselves as programmers? Okay. And how many people see themselves as artists? Okay. Designers, writers? Okay. Quality assurance, QA? You have. And
audio,
sound? Okay. Which would include voice acting and those things. So at a game jam, those proportions don't hold steady. Sometimes you'll have a game jam and you'll just have a ton of programmers show up and there'll be like two artists. Other times you'll have a lot of artists show up and only one or two programmers. So the structure, and real quick, this was just a slide showing some of the numbers and how the global game jam has grown in terms of number of sites and countries and participants and games. And each year we're just getting more and more people participating, especially in third world countries. It's really heartwarming.
How the heck did Egypt have them? How did Egypt become number one? Egypt had like 600 participants in one location. And while they're having a revolution.
I mean, so there were some really cool photos that came out of different countries, like in, was it Kenya, I think, in their game jam, and you would see women who were in, like, Muslim dress that were sitting there
that was very cool to see,
In a game jam. That was really cool. It's just fascinating to see countries that aren't normally what you would think is technology hotbeds, but Tunisia, for example. But game jams give those who have an interest in technology and programming an opportunity to come together all for one weekend. So they're making very valuable contacts. They're finding other people of similar interests, similar skill sets, similar passion, and companies are being formed, products are being created, so it's helping some of these third world economies as well. And I just love it. I think it's a fantastic thing. Okay. The timeline of a jam, and this varies from site to site. Atlanta, the way they run their jam may not be the same as the way they run it in Tunisia or in St. Louis or Florida anywhere. Yeah. But in general, people will show up on Friday, and at 6 p.m. in the local time zone of wherever, so it doesn't have to be the same time around the world, but in their time zone around 6 p.m., people kind of meet and greet. You get name tags. Sometimes there's ways that people will identify themselves with maybe a colored dot or a colored mark on their name tag saying, I'm a programmer, I'm an artist, I'm a designer.
Multiple dots are allowed.
Yep. And then if it's the global game jam, we have some kind of bonding things where we have keynotes from professional game developers, kind of inspiring discussions about what people might want to think about as they're going into this process. And then at 8 p.m. for the global game jam, this is something there's huge anticipation for, is what is the theme going to be for a particular jam. So this year the theme was the sound of a beating heart. Last year it was a picture of a snake eating itself, the Ouroboros. We've had themes that were just a word, such as deception. And we also have local jams that might have their own themes. So I think one year we used, in St. Louis, we used the theme of Twice Upon a Time. And what'll happen then is we break up everyone that showed up in the jam. In St. Louis, this is what we do. It might not be what happens in Atlanta. We break people up into large brainstorming groups of like 10 to 20 people and say, okay, here's your theme, Twice Upon a Time, Sound of a Beating Heart. What kind of games could you make on that? And we'll let them brainstorm for 15 minutes, maybe a half hour, kind of depends. And that it's one of the most fun parts of the process, is everyone's just kind of throwing out ideas and brainstorming and coming up with suggestions. And each group may come up with one idea, two or three different ideas. And then we'll all kind of come back together, and we'll have basically an evangelist for each game. If someone says, I really want to make this game, then they'll pitch it. We'll give them like 15 seconds or so to just pitch the game, you know, a snake on Mars or what. And then once we've kind of heard the pitches, then we go into the real group forming phase, where we'll have the evangelist stand at different places around the room, and people will vote with their feet. Like, I want to work on that guy's game. I want to work on her game. And people kind of clump around an idea that they're interested in. So again, this might take a half hour or so. And then we go into what I call the human trading card phase, which is we'll reality check a group and say, okay, you've got a group. You have six artists and no programmers. So it's a little difficult to make a game if all you have is artists. Unless you want to make a card game, which is legit, or a tabletop game, or some people have gone out and done outside games running around, that everything's okay. There's nothing that's really against the rules at a game jam. But we might go to another group and say, okay, you guys have six programmers, no artists, no designer, no writer, just six programmers. They might make a game on that, but it would probably be better if we kind of trade an artist from one group with a programmer. So we'll do the trading card and try to end up with balanced groups that have specifically at least programming and art. Those are the two key ones. It's also nice if they have a designer, writer. Sometimes there'll be only one or two sound people in the entire jam, and so they'll kind of do double duty. They'll work for multiple games. Or maybe a team will just have someone that goes on the web and just surfs for free music or free sound effects. As long as everything is open source, it's all cool to use. And the size of the group, this is something that there's a little bit of controversy about. Some people say that the ideal group size is 3 to 5 people. Other people say there should be no limit. We've seen games that just have 100 or 150 people just all hitting it for one weekend. They can do it. Generally, they kind of need a producer or a product manager or someone on the team to kind of keep everybody moving in the same direction. Typically, groups tend to be about 3 to 5 people, though, I would say.
One thing we also do with the Georgia Game Jam, part of the Global Game Jam Times, is we'll have off-site groups help us. For instance, Berklee Music College in, I believe it's Boston, will work very closely with us, and folks will tell them what they need in audio and sound effects and music, and the folks in Berklee will go ahead and provide them, get credits on it. We don't include them in our numbers for a number of folks involved, but it's a nice resource to get these going. And I've seen other groups have some off-site assistance as well. We work Ellen McLean, who's the voice of GLaDOS, comes to Siege every year and has become involved in our game jams from afar.
Awesome.
So she'll do it in
awesome.
From Seattle. So.
Yeah, game jams, it'll generally be mostly students and amateurs and interested in getting into the industry, but there's many professionals who participate.
We get a lot of pros. Get a lot of pros.
Yeah, and I'm a professional in the game industry. I've been making games for over 20 years. I love game jams, and one of the reasons I love them is because in my day job, I might be doing something that's very much, executive producer or quality assurance or human resources, where a lot of paperwork, I'm flying a desk. And every so often, I just want to sit down and make a game. I just want to pull up Game Maker or pull up some sort of scripting engine and just, damn it, make a game. And you just have this one weekend, and boom, you turn out a game, and I come out inspired and energized, and then I go back into the paperwork and the massive email queue o' doom.
We also always get about 10 to 20 regular software professionals who don't get to make games for a living, and this is where they get to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
We see, and they do very well with it. They really enjoy it.
Yeah. So on the timeline, once you have your group kind of set, and then they'll sit down and they'll start going into the details of what needs to be done in the next 48 hours. Some of them might go and build a flow chart. Some of them might write out some sort of an outline. Some kind of don't even do that. They just already have an idea, and then bam, they just start hitting. Programmer says, okay, I'm going to start making the framework, and the artist is off sketching things, and they just go at it. Whereas others will make a specific list of resources. We need these audio resources, these graphic art resources, and kind of assign things out to different people. So it really kind of varies. Is that kind of what you see?
Oh, yeah. I love seeing people suddenly discover all the different methodologies for software design. It's amazing. Some of them have heard about them. Some are just rediscovering the wheel. But some folks will try and do a whole modified waterfall thing where they'll do a mini design doc first and then try to work toward it. Others will do classic agile where they'll start making something, pull it together, throw out this, put it back together, come to another thing, and keep working like that. It's really cool to watch. Different groups go through the process.
And not all groups will end up with a finished game at the end of the weekend. At the end of the weekend, we take a look. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Friday, people are working on it. Saturday, work continues. As for the hours, it really depends on what people are comfortable with. Some people, they show up and they just want to work the full 48 hours. That's what they're comfortable with. Me, I like sleep. I like going home at night to take a shower and get some sleep. So I'll generally stay until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I'll go home, have a nice meal, sleep, get up the next morning, come in, and that's what's most productive for me. But often I'll come in the morning, and there'll be somebody there that's already worked straight through the night. Some programmers, they like that. And anyone who's done programming, when you're most productive is when you're not being interrupted. Because if you get interrupted, you're popped out of that mental state where you're kind of in the zone, and somebody asks you a question and you answer it, and then where was I? And it takes you about a half hour or so to get back into the zone. So they love working through 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Other programmers, that they can drop back into it very rapidly. So it really kind of depends what you like to do. And again, the game jam is a good way of learning more about your own limits, your own skills, and where your boundaries are in terms of what you can do in this very kind of rapid prototyping environment. There usually, for a game that's going to be completed, there's going to be some sort of a basic prototype by Saturday afternoon. If there's not a something playable by Saturday, it's generally going to be really hard to have something finished by Sunday, because design creep is going to be coming in, and, oh, yeah, well, let's add the dragon, and let's change this color and that. And one thing you learn about the game jam is you really have to focus your scope of what it is you want to accomplish. But if those teams that can get a prototype done by Saturday afternoon, then they can go into this wonderful testing and, oh, well, let's add that, and then you kind of iterate it, and then the game, some people say, oh, but the game's done on Saturday, what are we going to do until Sunday? I'm like, that's awesome, because now you have like a full 24 hours to polish the thing, add the production values. You want to also add a title screen, and you want to have credits. And credits are a wonderful thing for the game jam, because anyone who participates, whether or not the game is finished, each game is going to have a credits page. Now, their name is now in the credits of a game. This now becomes part of their body of work. This is something that they can show on their resumes for the rest of their lives, if they want to, but most do. And now this can help them to get jobs. And many people that want to get into the game industry, they're told to get into the game industry, make a game,
yep. Right?
Well, now you're at a game jam, you can make games. And game jams are also good for networking, in that if you're looking for work, and the human resources person you're talking to has also participated in game jams, they're going to see that on your resume, and that's going to give them more of a sense of your own skill set, your ability to finish a project, your ability to work as part of a team, your ability to work in this rapid prototyping environment. So it's good on many, many different levels.
One of the things we require at the Georgia event, which we found really helps to get more completed games, is we want by Saturday for the teams to start thinking about not just a way to demo the game, but you actually have to show us a video of it in play. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you start thinking of a non-playable demo that you can show. And that really helps getting people focused on having a finished thing, because they know they need to budget a couple hours just for putting together that video to show us later on.
And the teams that are able to get a video done early are going to get a leg up in terms of public attention, because the global press loves writing about the game jam. But to write about the game jam, they want to be able to point at games. So the games that are done on Saturday rather than Sunday and already have some sort of a basic video out are more likely to be written about by these bloggers and these people from the media that are super hungry. Surgeon Simulator, I think one of the reasons it became so popular is because they had that video out really, really fast. And so it started getting picked up by all the blogs. Look what's going on at the Global Game Jam. Whereas other games that didn't get their video out until Sunday had kind of missed that window. They might have been a better game, but, I mean, Surgeon Simulator had a lot going for it. It had a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, everyone here was cracking up.
I thought that was a very exact simulator. Thank you very much.
Different people have different techniques.
Yeah.
Let's not judge here, okay?
And a video doesn't have to be a full Windows Movie Maker thing. It can be as simple as someone with a cell phone kind of over the shoulder looking at someone playing the game.
If someone has Camtasia, that's great. But, yeah, we've seen a lot of cell phone videos.
Yeah. And sometimes they've just been videos of people showing their games off on Sunday, which if we have time, I'll show you a couple of those, because they're just hilarious, because everyone in the audience is exhausted and everything's funny. So there's a game called Snake 2 that came out of the New York Game Jam. I'll show the video. It's pretty good. So the skills, we were talking about, you know, what types of skills are needed. But you don't have to necessarily be a programmer or an artist or an audio person to participate in a game jam. Every skill is needed, and sometimes we just need gophers. Or I saw we had someone in St. Louis who was 7 years old who participated in the game jam, and I can show you a video clip of that as well. And he was really good at surfing the web. And someone would say, we need a sound effect. We need a sound effect of a roar. And he would go and surf the web and find a free sound effect. And then he'd say, it's too long. We need it, 2 seconds instead of 3 seconds. And he would go and do that. So he was part of the process. Project management, I think many teams would benefit from having a project manager instead of just being a programmer, artist, designer. Someone, if you don't have skills, you can still sketch out concepts. You can sketch out where the button's going to be on a particular page, what are the buttons going to look like. And, of course, you can just be a tester and test these games that are coming out. Generally around Saturday afternoon, everyone on every team is going, hey, will you play my game? Will you play my game? But everyone's still kind of working on their own game. So having people that are just there to play games, that could be useful too.
We also have a lot of volunteers who help put on the jam, and they often take on the role of testers late into the project. So that's another way to get involved and watch it happen. You won't end up necessarily with a credit. You might end up with a QA credit. I don't think I've seen that happen. I got to push that in the future where the volunteers get a QA credit.
Yeah. QA gets forgotten all the time.
It is a great way to see what's going on, check out a whole bunch of games and see what's gone into the process thereof.
So if you want to prepare for a jam, number one thing I would say is get a program called Game Maker from yoyogames.com. It's free. There is a paid version. But if you sit down and go through the tutorials for Game Maker, you can be making a game within an hour. I've seen junior high school students that we've done jams for schools, junior high schools, high schools, or children even younger, and said, here's Game Maker, work through its tutorials. And I saw a girl, she was an exchange student, I think from Ethiopia, never programmed, had poor computer skills, but within a day she made a game with Game Maker. So very, very simple to use. There's a Game Maker's on Windows. I'm not sure if there's a Mac version. Game Salad is definitely on Mac, and I think they also have a Windows version now. Or you can use the XNA framework, do something in C#. Unity, a wonderful 3D platform. Learning curve's a little steeper than some of these other.
Come in knowing some Unity. We actually have been putting on a couple of Unity workshops here in Georgia, free, that Microsoft has been sponsoring for us. The first one was a couple of weeks ago. The next one is supposed to be September 17th. So check out the ggda.org website, again, free at Microsoft's offices here in Atlanta.
I'm currently learning Unity right now, and once you know the basic tool set, again, you can make a game in an hour.
Yep, you really can make a game in an hour.
Maybe next year, Dragon Con, we could actually show it and have some sort of a workshop.
Yeah, another tool, well, I should wait till you go through the whole list.
Flash. Flash is a wonderful tool set. Again, bit of a learning curve, but once you know it, you can make games very rapidly. Flash also has the advantage that when you're showing off your game, you don't necessarily have to have someone download an executable to their computer, which always has those risks involved of downloading some poorly tested executable into your computer's Flash. Someone can just play it directly on the web. But even with Flash games, I still recommend having a video. Having a quick 30-second video that shows off the high points of your game is the best way to get out there. No matter how good the game is, many people, they just won't have time to play it. Last game jam, 3,200 games. Yeah. Who plays 32? I mean, some people can, but you just don't have time to play them all. But little video clips, you can definitely check
out. Do require the video to be judged for all the prizes. I mean, you don't have to make one and make a game all the same, but if you want to be judged for all the prizes in the Georgia's pot, you got to make a video.
Warigo Builder, Irwigo, one of my things is geocaching, and I'm very interested in the new growing genre of location-based games. And Warigo is something that works with Garmin GPSs, or there's also emulators on iPhones and Androids, where you can make it's a very simple game, almost a text-based game, but it senses your actual location. So I have a Warigo I created in St. Louis at a game jam. We did it in 48 hours called Where My Zombie Go, where you have to go to a location, and it has artwork. So you're physically looking at a hotel, but through your phone you can see that it's got this all kind of alternate reality aura around it, and it says that, okay, now the area has been overrun by zombies, and you need to find patient zero to help find the vaccine to stop the zombie plague. So go talk to Dr. So-and-so, and she was last seen 500 feet that way. And so you have to physically walk to that location, and then when you get there, the phone senses it, and it goes, and a zombie attacks you. You see a little zombie show up on your phone. And then you have to choose on, are you going to attack it, or are you going to run away? And so it takes you on this tour of an area in St. Louis called Maryland Heights, where you're going up and down streets. At one point, you need to get a clue by going into a cemetery, which is a real cemetery, and it shows you a picture of a fragment of a tombstone. So you have to find that tombstone in this little cemetery to get a year off of it, which is a password to hack into some doctor's database in the game. And the whole thing takes about an hour, 2 hours to play, but it's this growing genre of where you need to, it's not just what you're playing, but where you are at the time that you're playing it. And there's tons of others. Go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple others you can use. There's something called Construct 2, which is extremely simple to use. I don't really use it to make games. I find the games in it are kind of simple, but really for a 48-hour period. Very easy piece of software to learn and to implement. It comes with a lot of game templates that you can modify pretty quickly. There's another one, Multimedia Fusion, like Unity, has a bit of a learning curve, but gives you a lot more functionality of things you can do. For anyone interested in adding audio or just want to make sure you have audio capabilities, there's a program called Audacity, which can be a very useful little bit of very, very cheap audio engineering. There are free art packages as well, Blender and so forth. And I do recommend having the team on Dropbox and on Google Docs before Google Drive, before you all come on in there, or make sure you are, because at a jam, it's easier to do that than keep passing that flash stick around.
Yeah. Dropbox is a wonderful tool. GitHub actually helped out as a sponsor of the Global Game Jam, offering free accounts to all the different sites. Google Drive, absolutely. Shared Google Docs, shared Google Spreadsheets. Also, some sort of a task management, project management program, Trello, is really useful. And that way, if someone is seeing something that needs to be done, they can add, it looks like little post-it notes that show up on a web page and saying, okay, the edge of the screen, when you know the character fell off the edge of the screen. And so they can be adding these things into Trello, and a programmer doesn't have to ask, okay, what do I do, what should I do now? Instead, they just look at Trello, take a look at the list of post-its and say, okay, I'm going to work on that. They move the post-it over to a column that says being worked on, in process, in development. Then when it's done and compiled, then they move the post-it over again and say, okay, ready for testing. And then someone else will take it. And so these post-its are constantly kind of moving and flowing through. I find that really useful, but it really depends on the team. You might have three people that are just really good at talking to each other across the table. So really, whatever.
And you can learn the basics of these tools at a jam if you have to, but I strongly recommend playing around with them before you get in there. Check out a few, see which, go through some of the YouTube tutorials on them, try them out before you go into the jam. You can learn them there if you have to, especially Trello. I've seen people pick that up in no time at all, as long as one person knew how to get it up and going. But try these out before you get there.
And that goes back to having a project manager. I've been project manager at several jams, where I didn't do any of the programming, I didn't do any of the art, I just managed the process. So I was talking to everyone, teaching them how to use Trello, getting them onto Skype, you know, and that way we could send quick messages to each other through Skype, which was often more efficient than yelling across the room. Because sometimes you can type a message, and then you're busy with something, and then when you have attention, you go, oh, look, someone asked me a question 20 minutes ago.
And on my own games, I'm one of those geeks who will have Skype up for a Skype phone conversation, be typing the messages in Skype, be passing files in Skype at a physical meeting. We're all in the same room.
Right. Yeah, you're passing a file to someone who's across the table. Yeah, really useful. So it's ways to get involved. Well, one is at the globalgamejam.org site. You can go and you can see, are there any locations that are going to be in your area. Site sign up for 2014 hasn't started yet, but when it is, then you'll be able to go and see, oh, there's a site in Atlanta, there's a site in Birmingham, there's a site in Chicago.
Atlanta.
Yeah. If there isn't a site...
Triangle has a good... Yeah. Research Triangle area has a good one. Orlando has a good one. Mm-hmm. Anyone in an area that I'm not hitting who wants to know if they've been... I don't think Charleston has done one. We've got a lot of South Carolina people at the SPSU one. There might, but I'm not familiar with the Charleston one. There's a film festival up there, an indie film festival in Charleston that's been talking about wanting to do it. I don't know if they ever did. Sorry, didn't mean to derail.
No, that's fine. I was going to pull up and take a look at the list of sites from last year.
We do get South Carolinians at the SPSU jam. It's
what?
Not bad.
Anyone know why this is popping like this? What I need to do to fix that? Oh, you guys can't see it because I'm in a slide.
Southern, the past 2 years, and we're pretty much 99% sure, but for 2014, it'll be at Southern Polytechnic State University in Marietta, and that's also where we're doing the CDC Games for Health Jam on September 20th to 22nd. GGA.org for more info.
So, if there isn't a site in your area, start one. There's very low barrier to entry. All you really need is you need a location for people to show up. It needs to be a location that people have access to for either 48 hours or a good portion of 48 hours. It's okay to have a site that closes at 10 p.m., and if somebody wants to program through 2 o'clock in the morning, they just got to go to a Starbucks or wherever, that's something that's open 24 hours and find a spot. But ideally, we want it open for the full 48 hours. It really has to have Wi-Fi access, or a way for people to get on the Internet. And then you just go to globalgamejam.org when site registration opens, which is going to be in October, and say, I want to host a site. And then we'll add it to the list, and you'll be amazed. People will just come and start signing up. Most sites, I think, are probably at universities. Those are some of the best locations for them. But it can be at a business. It could be at a private home. There was a 14-year-old in Romania 2 game jams ago who really wanted to participate, but there were no sites in Romania. So he contacted us and asked if he could host a site out of his bedroom in his parents' home. And I discussed it with the other directors, and they're like, well, you know, it's kind of at last minute. And I'm like, this is Romania. We've never had a jam in Romania. So I personally mentored him and talked him through it. And he registered a site, and he created a game in 48 hours. He represented Romania.
Team Dracula. Yeah,
and the next year, there were 2 teams in Romania. So.
100% growth in 1 year. You don't get that all the time.
He's really a remarkable, remarkable kid. So, and then once the sites are registered, then we're going to have participant sign-ups, which is generally going to start around November, December time frame. And you just pick a site, you go say, I'm going to show up. Most sites are free. Some have a charge. Again, it depends on the area.
For the CDC game jam we're doing, that is free, and all food is included for the entire weekend long. The Global Game Jam location here in Atlanta, SPSU, does put a dollar fee on it that gets people to actually show up. It's like $10, but that also gets you a T-shirt and food for the entire weekend. The food is really courtesy of the sponsors, but we would let you think that you're paying for it.
Yeah, we usually don't have much trouble getting sponsors. St. Louis as well, with free T-shirts. We have food covered nonstop. But some countries, you know, if they're in Tunisia or Kenya, they have to pay for the space. They have to pay for the Internet, and so they may have to charge for it.
We lose money on every attendee, but we make it up in volume.
there's a question. If you could speak into that microphone, please.
Know any IRC channels that are like in this direction? I've only seen #BBG for browser-based games.
We do have IRC chats during the jam itself, where we're trying to encourage all the different organizers to talk to each other. I don't know
for the jammers. I'm not aware of one.
During the jam.
Okay.
I think it's on Freenode.
Well, just like in general chats, IRC. So if you want to go online and just hang out with people who like game jams and just make a game for fun, not necessarily during a jam, but maybe team up for a future Duke jam and stuff like that.
I would start with a website called Gamasutra, GAMASUTRA.com, which is lots of interesting information resources there. Job boards are definitely there. In terms of, say, I want to make a game and I need an artist to help me out,
Well, I have seen discussions on like DeviantArt about people talking about being at the jams, but that's like an international discussion of everyone saying, I was going to be there, who's going to be doing it? I'm not familiar with any programmer sites that have done the same, but I've definitely seen that on Deviant.
There are sites out there. As I kind of said at the beginning, I don't attend a whole lot of game jams, and basically, my philosophy is, I think game jams are great for certain people, but for other people, like myself, I prefer a more kind of slow-paced environment. I said the one game jam I participated in was with a team over a month. We put together a game. We actually took 2 months, but, who's counting? But there are sites out there, basically, where you can kind of talk to, and there's one that I joined recently, and I'm just blanking on the name. come up to me afterwards, get my card and email me, and I'll find out when I get back home. I'll get it to you. But I mean, there are places where you can just go and find other interested people outside of game jams. And you know, if you're the type of person that you know doesn't thrive in high stress, you know, high pressure environments, you might want to think about doing that. Even like what Andrew said, you know, a lot of these tools you might want to learn on your own. You might want to do a kind of more slow-paced game. Even if you think you might be interested in the game jam, learn some of these tools outside. You know, do like a small little game quickly on your own to learn the tools. And this might be beneficial. Then when you get into the game jam, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to feel like you're always running behind everybody else who's already familiar with a lot of these tools. You're probably going to find people that are going to be very generous and very willing to teach you, but sometimes it's nice to be able to kind of hit the ground running on your own.
There are two other primary communities I didn't think about, not say IRC, but two primary communities for meeting the jammers ahead of the events, and that is in Atlanta, the Georgia Game Development Association, for regular meetings, but also the IGDA. There are a lot of IGDA folks, International Game Developers Association people who are active with the game jams, and I've seen those discussions on the IGDA Facebook pages and LinkedIn groups and so forth.
So this is a game I wanted to show. This came out of one of the game jams in Madrid, and it really demonstrated that you can use any platform you want, and they decided to use the college campus Jumbotron as their platform. And what they did was they were able to get into the software. So the way the Jumbotron works is there's a camera pointing at a plaza at Madrid University, so that normally as you're walking across the plaza, you can look up on the Jumbotron and you can see yourself walking across the plaza. So these guys went out there and they changed it so that the camera could sense a light source. So you could not only see yourself crossing the plaza, but if you had your phone on and you waved it, it would sense where that light was. And so then they made this game where they put little aliens in little blocks up on the Jumbotron. And to kill an alien, you had to walk to the spot where you were then on the Jumbotron and wave your phone back and forth, which would erase that alien. And it was so intuitive that other people walking by who weren't part of the game jam would come and they'd look at the people walking, look up at the, and then they'd reach into their phone and pull out their cell phone, and we're going in and participating. So I'm just going to play you a quick clip of this if I can. Let's see. I might have to load for a second. Again, 48 hours. Oh, or longer, depending on what needs to be loading. Right, sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. Yeah.
I've actually brought extra hotspots to the Georgia location just in case, but the SPSU network is amazingly robust. Not a bad idea to have a hotspot in the backup, though. Just
okay. I should have preloaded this hard drive ahead of time. Sorry about that.
The frame rate on this game is awful.
Yeah. I think you get the general idea. So this popping thing where I'm moving my mouse and it's doing, anyone know what's causing that or how to fix it? I'm not going to worry about it.
Bill Gates is calling you. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I will do that. What signal is it searching for?
I'm amazed there's so many people still here. DragonCon.
Looks fine here. There we go. Okay. So,
this is how we
yeah, so
that's, yeah. Yeah.
So I can try and get some other videos and show them if anyone's willing to wait for them to buffer. But I'm just kind of summarizing things here, and we can definitely go into some Q&A. The Global Game Jam's been around for 5 years, growing like crazy. Everyone's welcome to participate. And it's a great way, if you're in an area that doesn't have a game developer community, game jams are a way to build that community, because you host the jam, people come up, and then maybe they'll start having regular meetings on meetup.com, classes to learn Unity, and it's just a great way to kind of energize everybody in the area. If you have more questions, you can write to any of us, mine at ilonka@globalgamejam.org, or just Google Ilonka, you can find all kinds of information, or just go to the globalgamejam.org website. So, any questions on anything?
I actually got a couple other things I'd like to bring up about the jams. Just some really quick advice regarding game jams in general. Some of this you'll see in a lot of places, others not so much. For those of you interested in doing a game jam, one of the important things that teams who fail to complete a game blow is the whole idea of scope. You want to come in there and not try and do everything incredible. A lot of folks who go there are talented, can do a lot of things, but focus on making something in the allotted time and getting it done, keeping that dedicated focus to it, not what Ilonka talked about before, is feature creep, is the idea of, oh, hey, I've got great AI in this game, now I can do some great stealth AI too, and now we can go ahead and add all sorts of great cover fire for the AI, et cetera, et cetera, and you keep adding these things in. And then Pac-Man eats everybody. So one idea is you got to really focus on having a very controlled scope in order to get it done to begin with. The second thing that I strongly recommend, you can come in with a team, you can have a pickup team. Either one is great, but arguments I've seen break out have been over what's going to happen with this title next. And I don't want to scare anyone off from it by saying you got to worry about legal issues. But do come in with a knowledge or some basic understanding of what folks are going to own, or you're making an agreement. If the artists are doing art, just admit that they're going to own the art for whatever they want to do coming out of here, unless you guys have a real plan leaving this thing. Just admit that programmers own their art, or own their code. If they put programmer, I'm sorry. The audio folks own their audio. The design, well, I mean, you can't really copyright game mechanics. That's why you see a million different versions of the Fender and everything else out there. So you can't really own that. The name of it, that's a bigger question, but do be willing to just get along with everybody and not turn any of this into a legalistic pissing match
when
coming out of it.
I heard that the theme for this year's Global Game Jam was going to be a snake basically mutilating itself. We got really excited and it turns out we made two games. So, I'd like to show you our first game. When we heard there has never been a video game about snake. When we heard that, we were very excited.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to pause it, and it's so... Okay, sorry.
Did I interrupt something?
No,
we
want to
go into QA.
Okay, all right. That's what's going on. Okay. Okay, all right, so...
When we heard that the...
Okay, all right, now we're ready to go. Okay, so this is from 2 years ago when the theme was the Ouroboros, the circle snake. This was a demo, I think it was out of the Game Jam in New York.
The theme for this year's Global Game Jam was going to be a snake basically filleting itself. We got very excited and inspired. And turns out we made two games. So we'd like to show you our first game. The name of the game is Snake. Now, there hasn't ever been a video game about a snake before, so we were very excited. Okay, so the idea is that you play as a snake, and what you have to try and do is get the food. Now, here's the thing, you get the food, and your tail is going to get bigger. Now, we came up with this idea by ourselves, by the way. Now, the idea is that you want to go ahead and try not to crash into your own tail, because that's really embarrassing. It's like stupid, right? But duh. So you have to try and eat as much food as you can, because your Well, you're hungry.
What type of food is it?
It's gold.
It's gold.
It's Goldschlager.
It's Goldschlager, yes.
Drugs name.
So, this was our first game, and after we finished, you were like, well, now what? We've still got, like, 47 hours. So, we decided that we would make another game. Hit it.
Did you lose?
Now it's Paul.
Our game is called... Holy shit. Two! So, basically, you're playing as a snake, and he has a hand for a nail. Now, little known snake fact, snakes like to eat fruit mainly. I read about that on Wikipedia. And so what you have to try and do is eat the fruit. And every time you eat fruit, you get 100 points up in the corner there. But every time you eat a bomb, like an idiot, you lose a life. If you lose all of your life, you go into what we call fail ass mode, which means you're a failure. All because you've got a gun. We try to avoid eating your pennies because it makes you throw up, as everybody knows.
I think it's important to note that I've never seen a game designed by people on drugs. But sleep deprivation can do amazing things.
We're already on wave three, so it's going crazy. You may notice there was a baby. It's fuck babies, right? No daddies. We're almost there. Hang in there. You got this, Matthew. You got this. Stop those bullets. Almost there. Don't drop the gun. Don't drop the gun. You dropped the gun.
You have come far, my son.
The fucking...
But this is as far as you go.
I'm not an adult, it's New York.
Got this. Yeah! Oh! At the butt king. Notice he's wearing a crown because he is the butt king. He's also snake to his father.
Did he die in this game?
Oh, as you see, we're in fail ass mode, so we actually already have died.
Okay.
Somehow.
Kill the butt king. You guys aren't doing it, so we can't actually
kill the butt king. Kill the butt
king. Kill the butt king. Kill the butt king. Kill the butt king. Kill the butt king. Kill the butt king.
Yes.
Yeah.
You won. Congratulations.
Again, okay, yeah. That's what can be done in 48 hours.
Butt play.
Well, the most game jams are not competing, so it's not judge. Atlanta has judging, but most places there might be an audience choice award. The purpose of the jam is really, you know, innovation. enhancing skill sets. And if there happen to be prizes, okay, but it's not the goal.
Right. We get prizes. We have, for instance, Autodesk is a big prize giver for this one. So we do rate. One of the things that will also happen, even on the larger level, is companies will come in and say, we will give prizes for people who use our technology in their game. We'll judge it accordingly. And we had a Windows 8 phone competition. Microsoft gave away Windows 8 phones and so forth and so on. So that's a big part of why we vote. We do have real prizes, either way.
Run it.
Good. There's a question. Go for it.
Yeah, the question I had was the resultant games that come out, you're talking about platform. Are they all come out on a general platform? Obviously, you're seeing a lot of it in a movie or something, degraded or rated or whatever. But what kind of platforms are we seeing? And to some degree, I was kind of asking Brian there, you know, about JSON, you know, about, do you use that at all? Or web implementation, or do you know? Yes, sir.
Not a whole lot. I've done a little bit with JavaScript, but not that much. I can answer this. You know, the games come out on all sorts of platforms. Like we talked about, you know, you can do a game in Unity, you can do a game in Flash, you can do, you know, a game in C#, you know, whatever. You know, a lot of people come with the platforms they're familiar with, and, you know, as a programmer, it depends on your cover level of the programmers. You know, some programmers might get together and say, hey, we're all familiar with Flash, so let's do some Flash. Somebody might, you know, decide, hey, I want to learn Flash, so I'm going to go and look for somebody, you know, doing Flash. Yeah, I'm a good programmer. I want to expand my skills. You know, you'll have stuff. People that will do stuff in HTML5 is a up and coming language platform people will use. You'll see people do it for mobile devices, do iOS devices, iPads, iPhones. Kind of depends on, you know, if you have, you know, if you're a programmer, you have expertise on a platform, you'll probably find someone that will be interested in making a game on that.
And just on the topic of different platforms, this was something that came out of Thailand. I can't understand a word they're saying, but they're so cute. I just love the video. And they made this entire kind of, you know, layer cake board game.
คือหมารถไฟก็จะมีวิธีการกินแบบเป็นกินหางกันนะคะคือกินหางกันเป็นทอดๆโดยที่เราก็จะเปรียบเสมือนว่าหางรถไฟนั่นก็คือลูกปัดที่ตามตัวผู้เล่นนะคะแล้ว as long as I said before, yeah, in shows here, you know, you can make a tabletop game, you can make, you know, a card game, you can make obviously a physical board game, you can have sculpting ability, you know, we generally talk about, you know, electronic games, you know, and we're all electronic game developers up here, but, you know, that shouldn't be a limitation. You can find people who are willing to, like I said, if you have experience or interest in a platform, go there. There's probably somebody else that will say, hey, yeah, I'm with your crazy idea.
When the Heartbeat one was done here in Georgia, one of my favorites was a board game alien autopsy game. We both put the alien together and then took it apart.
The snake video really begs the question for me.
Begs a lot of questions.
It was wrong on many levels. Well, we can just say that. Okay.
Especially on the video game side, but what percentage of the participants of the Global Game Jam would you say are women? Because I think you could use some more of them based on that.
I have those statistics. I didn't bring the statistics with me, but I would say it's probably around 80-20.
We get about a one-quarter female. Turn out for the Georgia one.
Yeah. And it's not that women are being excluded in any way. It's an open call. Who wants to show up? Generally, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, the women who come to the game jams are generally going to be more on the art side, sometimes on the writing and design side. But we also have women programmers, just like we have men artists. And as I said before, any skill set is welcome, really. And if someone has a skill in something, whether it be... We had someone that came in and knitted things once for a game. So really, anything you want to do is fine.
We're kind of fortunate in that both SPSU and Georgia Tech have a significant number of female coders going through their programs, and a fair number of those will come out to the jam. So I think our numbers are probably a little higher for females, but I couldn't give you the exact number.
Other questions?
Pick one.
Oh, yeah, he's already asked. Let's go to...
Regarding to the game assets, are those pre-made before the contest, or the make during the contest? Because some of the game
this question.
Yeah, that butt looked they'd spent months on it.
especially the 3D objects. Yeah, it takes a lot to make those objects.
The it's anything is welcome. The many people do go out on the web and they just surf for examples of existing resources, existing sound, existing art. And as long as it's open source, it's okay, or as long as we give proper credit. There's a wonderful website, I think it's called freesounds.org, where you can go and get all kinds of different sound effects. And as long as you include in the credits, this is who made the sound, and maybe a link to that particular page, it's all good.
One thing that we see a lot of are people who do bring pre-built assets that they've created, but know that they're going to modify significantly there. Now, but then you'll see something like the theme is the Orbis with the snake, and they're trying to figure out how to get their Halo-style Marines, fake Marine model into that game. It's tricky. One thing that does work a lot is folks will come in with a sound library already on their machine that they have full rights to, or that they developed, and then they will edit the sounds there to make them appropriate, get that 3-second roar down to a 2-second roar. That's a great point.
It's not like there's a 48-hour film project, which I've also participated in. And for the film project, the rules are very strict that you cannot use any pre-created resources there. You can do some location scouting, maybe set up some of the props that are going to be used, but the script has to be brand new within that 48 hours. All the filming has to be done during that 48 hours. But the game jam isn't like that. You're welcome to use other resources. In fact, there was once an achievement, an extra kind of game is the game jam, make a game that, and one of the elements was, can you make a game that only use pre-created resources, where nothing in the game is something that's created during that 48 hours.
Yeah, even beyond kind of the physical location game jams, there's other game jams online. Like I said, I participated in one that was over a month. There was another game jam that was very similar to what you described, where they took 1 month for people to create assets, art, sound, or whatever, and then there was a follow-up month where the programmers took, and they could only use the assets that were created, and then they introduced a theme, and basically let people use those assets to create games. And that was really interesting. What? Yeah. And there was actually a commercial game, Realm of the Mad God, that basically used a lot of assets from that, and basically went on to become commercial. So yeah, the pixel cap, like I said, I'm not much for the physical game jams, but I like the concept of the game jams. I think that, as we said, one of the big things, especially for new game developers, when I sit down, I want to build, especially in my case, MMOs, I want to build World of Warcraft.
you're not going to build 48 hours.
So, the good thing about game jams, teaches you the constraints.
Maybe Ultima Online, but I forgot one really important point that I always try to make about the jams. One of the issues in game dev professionally is human resources folks realize that one person who doesn't fit in with the team can really set back project development. This is equally true in the jams. And this is where you need to be self-aware whether or not you're fitting in with the team or not. And the team needs to be aware if there's an obstacle going on. If you can make that break cleanly and as early as possible, there's still time to get on other teams where you're a better fit, or even to do your own project. We got a lot of folks who go solo and don't do teams on it. The majority of folks are teams. We always have a smattering of solo projects. So that's one thing I always push. Be self-aware. Are you fitting with this group? Would you be better off doing something else? And we do have people who work on multiple teams. There's nothing in our rules against that.
Yeah, and we, St. Louis as well, we have a few people that are just not particularly good team players. or say that they're a 3D artist, and then they didn't bring a laptop, they don't know how to use any 3D program, they just kind of over-represent what they can do. And you just need to identify them, and if no one wants them on their team, I mean, it's sort of like high school in that respect, not being picked, but you just tell the person, sorry, but you can make your own game, make a card game.
Grab Construct 2, anyone can make it.
Yeah, many people come to jams, and I've seen many games come out with a team of one.
Any more?
Do you have any special advice for people who attend a game jam for the first time?
Bathe. It is not Dragon Con. We actually will go around and very strongly encourage people to go find a shower somewhere. Come Sunday morning, Saturday night.
Yeah, we have a doctor, a chiropractor, who comes and participates in the jam, and he comes with a bag of extra deodorant sticks and soap, and he puts them out on the table and says, they're free, take them, take them, take them.
I'll reiterate what I said before, focus. have something very clear that you are going to do and do that. And if Sunday morning comes around and you've got an extra 4 hours, then great, add stuff onto it, but make sure that is working.
My advice to anyone that wanted to participate would be learn Game Maker. Download Game Maker from yoyogames.com, make a game. Just because being familiar with the skills ahead of time, and also just showing the video, this is showing, you'll see them walk through the Thai Game Jam area, which is pretty massive. Just tables and tables and tables, which is pretty typical of what a game jam can look like.
Yep, and you can bring your bedroll, your sleeping bag, etc. You do let folks just crash out on the floor.
Also to prepare whatever skills, learn the tool set. We keep saying it, learn the tool set. Trying to learn a new tool set at the jam, very bad idea. You just don't have time. Things are moving way too fast.
Do you have any advice for making something like multiplayer Asteroids, a little bit step up from there? It's hard to make multiplayer games. There's a lot of intricacies. Maybe a framework or something like that to speed that up.
SmartFox. If you're going to do that, come in knowing SmartFox or something like that ahead of time. I mean, SmartFox is a, for any game developer. Sorry. If you're looking to do multiplayer stuff, there's a good asset called SmartFox Online, but you better come in knowing that before you sit down to try and do that for multiplayer. On the other hand, multiplayer on a single machine is not horribly difficult, but again, I wouldn't try and learn it sitting there for the first time. One of our teams here, one of the groups of professionals that come in and like to do the jam, will tend to do multiplayer tablet games on one tablet, which is a lot of fun.
I'll ask one.
Sure.
What's been the most surprising thing you've seen at a game jam?
You mean in terms of people or in terms of a game that came out?
Did anything get done?
Yeah, anything. What's been the thing that surprised you, the wow, you know, sort of thing?
The amazing, this is going to sound goofy, the amazing camaraderie between everybody there. That's what blows the mind. Everybody's off, head down in their own thing, but there's a lot of crossover, helping out. Oh my God, I can't figure this out. Let me go ask someone on another team, get that solved. And at the end, the applause for everyone's projects is amazing. I mean, it's not that I'm going to hold down the applause for my own or my buddies. It's everything is getting, maybe it's the sleep deprivation that causes that, but it is true. It really does happen. I'm always amazed by it.
I'd say that's definitely some of it. You know, seeing the Muslim women playing, I thought was fantastic. And I think seeing people that you wouldn't expect to be good at programming or design or game development come out with a complete, full, polished product at the end of 48 hours. I saw a group of 14-year-old girls at one of the school jams, and they were just kind of off in the corner and doing their thing, and I'm helping, you know, I'm trying to bounce around to different teams. And at the end, and they just came up with something, and it was amazing. The art, the sound, the design, and the game jam gave them the opportunity to show how creative and talented that they could be.
Another surprising thing sometimes are the teams that fail at it. I've seen teams of pros just not get their act together within the weekend, or usually just get too ambitious with what they're doing.
Yeah, I would say that's a surprise. You know, three people that are all professional game developers, and they come up with something, and they barely have a splash screen up.
Looks like we're done.
Yeah.
September 20th to 22nd, Southern Polytechnic State University, information at gga.org. It is free, you will be fed, and you can win some incredible prizes, including a paid position.
Thank you for coming.